call the meeting of the Sussex County Council November 16th meeting to order. Mr. Councilman Mike Vincent is absent this morning, at least temporarily attending an official county council business event in Seaford. I believe there's an event in cooperation with the governor's office announcing very exciting job opportunities for this county. We will call the meeting to order and begin with the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker?
Yes, I do have several suggested changes. First, under Mr. Lank, discussion and possible introduction of a draft ordinance related to administrative approvals. We'd like to defer on that. It is still in process. So we'd like to bring that up at our next meeting, which would be 2 weeks from now.
I'm sorry, which agenda item is that?
That's under Mr. Lank, discussion and possible introduction of a draft ordinance relating to administrative approvals.
Okay, thank you.
And also, we do not have a need for executive session today.
Okay. Anything else from council? That'll also eliminate possible action on the executive session items. If there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve the amended agenda. Second, please.
Second.
All in favor say aye. All in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Motion carried. In your packet were the minutes from the October 26th meeting. Were there any changes or additions? If not, I'll consider those minutes approved. Mr. Moore, do you have any correspondence?
Yes, there's two items. First is from the Mason-Dixon Woodworkers. Dear members of Sussex County Council, in appreciation of your outstanding support in 2009-2010 of our Christmas toy-making initiative, the Mason-Dixon Woodworkers wish to invite two members of your group who help expedite your support to attend our annual banquet held on Friday, November 19th, 2010 at the VFW Hall in Del Mar, Maryland. And it's signed by Thomas Mattis, Secretary. The second is Bethel Historical Society. Dear Commissioner Vincent, the trustees of the Bethel Historical Society gratefully acknowledge your generous $2,000 grant from the Sussex County Council. As you know, we are raising funds to purchase a playground ship to be placed in the back of the museum. The displays in the museum show the tools which ship carpenters used in the 1800s to build sailing rams here in Bethel. There are also many pictures of these old sailing rams. Upon exiting the museum, the children will then be able to play in and on the playground ship and pretend to be the old ship carpenters and ship captains. All of us in Bethel wish to thank you so much for your interest in our community and for this gift from the Sussex County Council. Signed, Kevin Phillips, President.
Is there any more correspondence?
There's not.
Does council have any correspondence? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Baker. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. The first item I have is United Way of Delaware recognition, and with us today we have Mr. Michael Shockley, representing United Way, and Mike would like to address the council and explain their program in Sussex County. Thanks, Mike.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning.
Hi. My name is Michael Shockley of United Way, and I just want to thank you for having the few minutes on the agenda this morning. I certainly appreciate it. As United Way and of Delaware, and being in Sussex County, United Way is actually no more as a fundraiser, but this morning I'm not asking for any funds, but as a recognition piece. Every year we do kick off our campaign, usually like around mid-September, and something we've done for the last few years is set up a pace setter campaign. And so far, as a lot of people know, more of our funds come from the northern, the corporations, and kind of headquartered up there. But we're really trying to bring the grassroots of United Way into Sussex County. So as far as the pace setters, we've never had a pace setter campaign before, which runs from mid-July till the end of August. And what it is, the basic initiative is to really kind of motivate the campaign before we kick off in mid-September to kind of get everybody underway and motivated. We've never had a pace setter before under an individual. under a business or organization. And I just want to thank the Sussex County Council, because this year was the first year we've actually had a pay setter, and the Sussex Council was the first one. So we certainly appreciate it. Just moving forward, I just want to say thank you for, you know, in this time, the hard economic times, you know, we really appreciate all the new business, all the new supporters, and the people have supported us. So thank you very much. I really wanted to hand out the recognition piece today, a certificate for the Sussex County Council, which is signed by Michelle Taylor, which is our CEO and President of United Way of Delaware. And it just says, certificate of appreciation and recognition of the contribution to our 2010 campaign. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. You say you're not here for money, but I have a check made out to United Way of Delaware. Would you
I'm
like
not
us
asking
to keep
today.
It?
I've already
come back
did.
Another day. Come back.
I think I already made the ask to Mr. Baker, so thank you, Mr. Baker.
It is our human service grant.
Okay.
On behalf of the Sussex County Council, we appreciate everything you're doing. We look for partners and quality organizations like yourself. We certainly appreciate this, and we hope you'll continue the good work in Sussex County.
Thank you very much. So we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Thank you.
The next item we have on the agenda is paramedic recognition, and with us today we have some special guests due to a special life-saving event that occurred this summer, and we'll introduce Mr. Bob Stewart, and he has quite a group here with us.
Good morning, Council. Ms. Webb, Ms. Griffith.
Good morning, Bob.
How about you guys come back over here, right in front of Chip? Sorry, Chip. Mr. O'Beer?
Mr.
Randy?
Chinese fire drill.
We'll get it together. Can you come up here and stand beside the podium, Mr. O'Beer? Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to be here today. Today we're here to recognize the paramedics that responded to an incident on the evening of this past July 4th, and along with first responders and members of the Seaford Volunteer Fire Department and Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Company, we're able to successfully resuscitate a volunteer firefighter, Mr. Randy O'Beer. I've often been asked why I became a paramedic, and I'm sure that this group of individuals has been asked that same question. It is incidents like this and other incidents where we feel we make a difference in the outcome of our patients that remind us of why we do what we do. It is even more gratifying when the patient is one of our own. On July 4th, 2010, at approximately 23:20 hours, Sussex County EMS paramedics played a vital role in saving a volunteer firefighter's life. While on standby at the Rehoboth Beach Fireworks, an engine from Station 87 in Seaford was alerted for a structure fire in Dewey Beach. While operating on scene, one of the firemen collapsed. Initial assessments by first responders revealed that the firefighter was in cardiac arrest. As with any July 4th celebration in Rehoboth, traffic was extremely heavy, which delayed our normal response. Two bike medics, paramedic Wayne Jester, paramedic Jordan Titoli, were on scene in the city limits of Rehoboth. When they heard the initial call, they moved to the south side of town. While in the area of Silver Lake, they heard the incident commander request paramedics for a firefighter in cardiac arrest. They immediately responded. Due to heavy traffic, they were the first paramedics on scene and initiated treatment. Several minutes later, paramedics from Medic 104, consisting of paramedic FTO Chris Boyer, paramedic Frank Mayhorn, training specialist Holly Mitchell Donovan, and student paramedic Kevin Erb, arrived on scene and eventually took over care from the bike medics. Jay Shine was on duty that evening as each district supervisor, and he also responded to the scene. While on scene, the volunteer firefighters, EMTs, police officers, paramedics worked to save the firefighter's life. Their hard work proved successful, and the patient regained pulses. I might add, the last thing he said before we intubated him was, "Don't kill me." The transport was initiated to BB Medical Center, and during transport, the EMTs and paramedics continued to treat and stabilize the patient. On arrival at the hospital, the patient continued to have pulses and was transferred over to the hospital staff. After an extended stay at the hospital, the patient was discharged home. Since then, the responders have been recognized by the Rehoboth Beach and Seaford Volunteer Fire Companies, Delaware State Chiefs Association, and the Sussex County Firefighters Association. In recognition of their heroic efforts, these paramedics are being awarded the Departmental Phoenix Commendation for the role they played in saving the life of a fellow responder. The paramedics today will go out the, would you like to come forward, please?
Yes, sir.
Let me give out the commendations. The two bike paramedics, Wayne Jester and Jordan Titoli. Right Yes, go ahead and get Mr. O'Beer up if you...
Now, you didn't introduce him as the...
Mr. O'Beer is the gentleman who...
Did you introduce him? Oh, you didn't.
I'm glad you're with us today.
Be related to Jesse.
He's also a farmer. Farmer, Sam.
Not related to Jesse, is he?
I tell you, he keeps getting all these recognitions, he'll never get any farming done.
Paramedic Unit 104, we have Chris Boyer, Holly Mitchell Donovan, Kevin Urban, and Frank Mainhorn. This is Chris Boyer.
Who are on the bike?
Jordan, the first two guys.
Probably the youngest ones.
We almost lost one. We almost lost one bicycle when Wayne jumped off it. It almost went into Rehoboth Bay. He was driving so fast. Kevin is one of our. He was a student paramedic that evening. Since then, he's become a full-fledged Sussex County paramedic. He was in the final stages of, or the beginning stages, actually, of his training. Frank Mayhorn was also on the medic unit that evening
Crash
and provided some supportive help to the crews. Yes.
Yeah. Talk about getting right into it.
And unfortunately, paramedic supervisor that evening, Jay Sean, is not able to be with us this morning. Mr. O'Beer, do you want
to? Jesse O'Beer's his dad, I think.
Yeah. Sort of grateful to these guys. If it hadn't been for them, I wouldn't be here today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. O'Beer.
I'd like to thank the council providing us the opportunity to provide the type of service that we can during these major events. Not only do we protect the public, but we can also protect our own.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thanks.
Good seeing
you.
Excuse me. Can we get all of you with Mr. O'Beer in one photo, if you don't mind?
Yeah, a lot of prayer for this guy.
Okay.
You want to do it right here?
Yeah, right here.
You want to do it out in the
middle? Down again.
Man, didn't exercise.
Can we right in front of the podium? So, you
almost died.
Work your way down.
Oh, that one.
I mean, even after you couldn't ever had some bad problems after you got in the hospital.
Mr. O'Beer, could you come forward, please?
Put him dead center.
Dead
Don't
center.
Use the adjective.
Right, him, you guys would be.
That's right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Just slip of the tongue.
Then we come down last year and he must have had too many cases. Got the fire alarm going off for his case today.
Yep. Job well done, Bob.
Thank you.
We need.
Oh, four. He does a lot of that.
As I mentioned earlier, Councilman Vinson is at an important event in Seaford, but he especially wanted me to extend his appreciation to the paramedics and all those involved in this and so many other emergency situations that make our lives safe in Sussex County. Mr. Baker?
Yes, thank you. The next item is the Manufactured Housing Committee status, and a request was made to the County Council to add additional meetings for the Manufactured Housing Committee. Just to give you a little background about this, on November 3rd, 2009, the County Council approved establishing a committee, and the committee, the focus of the committee was that it would work on manufactured housing issues, which it did, and as in the minutes, the committee was scheduled to meet three times, and that was in the minutes on November 3rd, 2009. Once the committee was established, it met and made a recommendation to the County Council. The committee met in February, March, and April 2010. Recommendation was made to the County Council and the Planning and Zoning Commission, and various ordinances were prepared as a result of the committee's work, which we sincerely appreciated. So I guess the question today is whether or not to reconvene the Manufactured Housing Committee or possibly even establish a new committee. And if so, what should be the scope of their task? One possibility, in speaking with Mr. Lank yesterday, would be we could ask the members of the existing committee for specific issues that they would like to see discussed, so we'd have a specific scope for a reconvening of the Manufactured Housing Committee.
I think that last suggestion is probably the best.
Yep.
We have something, at least we'd have a document to work from, and we'd look at, see what's in there, and we'd, you know, just find out what's not been resolved. And I know there's still a number of issues out there that have not been resolved. So I'd say get somebody to come back and make a recommendation, and probably the committee, maybe if they meet one more time and have a meeting about
what issues they're going to talk about.
What we'll do then is send in writing to each member of the committee a request that they give us a report back individually on the issues that they would like to see addressed, and then we will call another meeting of the existing committee to take a look at those issues then, if the council's...
Well, however you want to do it, but I just think getting them back together and then them producing a report to us about what they think needs to be still considered, mm-hmm. whether it be ordinances or modifications or whatever. Yeah.
If there's no objection, we'll allow the county administrator to proceed as such.
Okay, and we'll do it in a timely
Well, whatever's the most efficient. Maybe just having them reconvene, David. Maybe you don't need to send out a letter other than just saying we're going to reconvene, and these will be the issues, and hopefully they'll, you know, bring some of that to the table as opposed to them having to write back a letter with the issues they think individually. I just think notify them, see if they're willing to meet again. If they are, get together.
I think the thought was having the items already declared so that the meeting doesn't just turn into this kind of chaotic throw everything up on the wall and see what sticks.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Baker, you can proceed as you plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. The next item is the Oak Orchard River Road contract options, and we'd like to review the options available for the Oak Orchard River Road Sewer Project. As you're aware, this project is an extension of the existing Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District along River Road towards Millsboro. The human remains, as expected, have been discovered along the path of the sewer line along River Road. Five human remains have been removed to date, which was included in our existing contract. But at this point in time, a total of 28 individual human remains have been found in the path of the sewer line under River Road. And again, our contract only covered five. There have been a number of meetings. Several occurred on Friday, November 12th, with various interested parties, including the county's consulting engineers, the CAVE associates, archaeologists who the county is subcontracted with, John Milner and Associates, Delaware State Historical Preservation Office, DelDOT, members of the Nanticoke Tribe, representatives from the County Engineering Department, and myself were there Friday. So that basically there are four options for consideration. One would be burial excavation, the removal of the 28 human remains that were found in the path of the sewer line. Currently, about $45,000 has been expended, and five of the human remains have been removed. The estimated approximate remaining cost to remove the additional 23 remains would be about $185,000. Option two would be what's called bore and jack, and this is a process commonly used to bore under roadways to install sewer lines or other utilities. Under this option, approximately 80 linear feet would be bored underground under the human remains, and this would be at a minimum of 8.5 feet from the surface and a minimum of 4 feet below the buried human remains that have been discovered. The estimated cost, approximate cost of this option is about $85,000. Another option that we talked about would be to relocate the sewer line path, to move the sewer line from Long River Road, within the which the current plan is within the DLDOT right-of-way, around some of the homes that are adjacent on the north side of River Road. And the concern here is that initially this would require additional archaeological work to determine whether there are additional human remains. It basically appears that this is almost a cemetery-type situation from 1700s, maybe early 1800s. The concern with this option is that there would be an archaeological cost of approximately $30,000 to perform a similar scope of work by moving the pipeline, additional cost for easements and re-engineering and constructing the project in a little different fashion than anticipated. And the concern was that this cost may equal the cost even of excavating or excavating the various human remains. Option four would be to discontinue the project at a point approximately 200 feet from the burial location. By doing that, the project would serve approximately six properties, and approximately 20 other properties along the inland bays would not be served with central sewer at this time. So these were the four options that we discussed and talked about at the various meetings. I know Mr. Izzo is here, there are some representatives that he has here, and I don't know if you'd like to come up, Mike. The funding I will mention for the work, there are some county transfer tax funds remaining from the original Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District that are being used to fund this project.
And good morning. And we do have representatives of here with me today, Mr. Steve Lewandowski from Cabe Associates, who's the engineer for the project. We have Mr. and Mrs. Ashley, who are two local residents who would be served by the project. They're very interested. And I want to thank them because, you know, these folks' lives have been disrupted because there's been a lot of comings and goings of people and many meetings, and they've been so great. They've brought us coffee and donuts while the people are out there working. I'm thankful for that. And then we also have Dan Parsons, who is our historian on staff, and he's worked with the State Historic Preservation Office as well as the representatives from DLDOT. And then we have two elders of the Nanticoke tribe who are here as well. And they also have been great to work with because they've been involved in this whole process. And they've asked many intelligent questions and brought a different point of view to the whole process. And we're thankful for their involvement as well.
Dave, that last one you talked about, discontinue, that would still have a cost associated with it. Don't we have an agreement with this contractor? Wouldn't we have to pay them some monies and things like that, right?
So we would have to close them out. They obviously have done work to date as far as opening up the trench each day and closing it. There would have to be road restoration.
But how about for the balance? I mean, didn't they bid on a large project? Now,
there would be some closure cost, I would agree, to close them out. But we would have to sit down with Daisy and bring you something back. I do believe there is some benefit to putting the first 200 feet of sewer in the ground. As I indicated, that would serve some six residents. And it will also keep the contractor working. Which there's some benefit to that. He has mobilized to
figuring
the site.
Things out, you're saying.
And we have to use him to he's got to come back and overlay that section of road anyway because it's been opened up. Mm-hmm. So there is some benefit, I think, to putting that section of sewer in the ground while the road is disturbed.
Each of these options would involve change orders, but
right.
We just...
On the 28 human remains, do we have to have each of the 28 tested? Or do they just take a sampling of the
Dan, could you come up?
Maybe, yeah, Dan, how's that work, Dan? Give us an idea what is involved in all that testing.
Well, the remains that we have exhumed...
They're getting louder. They might not...
The remains that we've exhumed are going to be sent to the Smithsonian Institute to be analyzed, and the remains that we have not will just remain in the ground.
Now, if we took out the other 23, that's his question. Would they also have to...
Yeah, I mean, do we? Yes. Is there a requirement to examine each human remain, or do you do a sampling of... Like, if you have 28, can you do 5 samplings?
Well, we would test all of them, analyze all of them at the cost of $500 per remain.
And what's the turnaround on something like that? Here it goes to Smithsonian or someplace.
Seems like in talking to them, it will be 3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months. Yeah. How about the private sectors? Smithsonian kind of sounds like a government agency. There's private organizations out there can do the same testing, I'm sure.
Well, not for the cost is very low, $500 per body.
Yeah, but it's the time it could cost us.
Well, I don't think that examining the remains isn't going to hinder the project. It'll be kind of a separate action. Once we exhume, if we were to exhume them
right,
all,
right.
We would then send them away to John Milner would clean them and then process them and send them to the Smithsonian. Right.
There is some preparation.
So there would be, and then we can continue on before, and then we would...
Oh, you mean bore underneath is what you're looking
for? We could bore. We'll just leave, I guess the whole process would, what we would want to do is mitigate effect to the site. So in the future, people could study it and analyze it, and they'd have better equipment and could do it in a better fashion than what we can right now. So we would like to leave the site as intact as we possibly can.
Right.
For future purposes, you know, for posterity.
And from my understanding, I don't know if it's a license, but there seems to be two entities that are permittable or licensed in the state of Delaware to handle these remains, and that would be one, the gentleman from the Smithsonian, or two, the University of Delaware.
Yes.
So the goal would be is to not disturb, not to disturb, or do as little disturbance as possible.
Right.
The only way of all the scenarios that Dave alluded to would be to bore under and not disturb the site, right?
Yes.
That seems that way. Do we still have to do a lot of studying? I mean, do we still have to go through the other expense if we're not going to disturb the site?
That's correct.
How much?
Since we have taken 5 sets of remains out of the ground, so to speak, we would have to handle those 5 sets of remains in accordance with the state law, which is
right.
Working
yeah.
with the gentleman. But the other ones would remain intact. And until, you know, there may be some other reason in the future.
Until somebody wanted to disturb them, there's no requirements to have to do all the studies.
That's correct.
If you don't disturb them.
Right.
Okay. So the question would be then if we, I guess, went under, bored under, right? And not disturb, what would the roadway and everything would be put back? And we just...
That's correct. And we've talked about putting up... some sort of monument in the area,
right.
Document.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is
a
site
situation.
Found such and such and whatever.
Correct.
And we will know from the 5, possibly an indication of maybe what all 28 could be?
Yes. We've determined from tidal traces of the land that most likely a Waples family, and the burials range from 1690 to 1740 from the archaeology that we've studied.
Okay.
So it's a very old site, and we think, but the unfortunate thing is that this they were paved over in the 40s.
Right.
And unbeknownst to us, I mean, we were trying to mitigate this. I've been dealing with this since I came onto the job 3.5 years to try and kind of gingerly go through this process. And unfortunately, worst case scenario is we hit a cemetery.
Right.
And now we've tried to pull everyone together and get everyone's consensus on how to handle this. The property owners, well, you know.
So the graves or the burials go beyond the roadway?
Most likely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We don't know the full extent. Mm-hmm. Could be another 60.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's possible.
It seems like the probability is there's a lot more.
Well, I think, I just personally think the not to disturb is the route to go. And
pretty obvious, isn't it?
Huh?
Pretty obvious.
Well, I think so, yeah. Just the least amount of disturb. We've disturbed 5 of them. We've got to deal with the 5, and that'll give us an indication if it maybe leads to this Waples or if it leads to Indian type of remains. We'll know, right, from
right.
These 5 have an indication.
Of who they are.
No, nothing to prevent us then to put the roadway back on top and then identify the site, and then we could...
Everyone's in agreement. That's what we should do.
Is there a reason why we didn't bore to start with?
Well, because we didn't know where the extent started and where the extent stopped. I mean, So we wouldn't know where to start the jack and bore and where to stop the jack and bore until we unearthed the
you know, the sets of X-ray remains. don't you have an X-ray machine out there, X-ray and this or something?
We did ground penetrating radar.
Yeah.
And the results were not very clear. It may had to do with the burials being so dense. Maybe if there were only three or four that were spread out, you know, over 50 foot, you might have noticed, you know, the difference in the contours. But frankly, even once we opened up the site for the first couple days, you know, even then it wasn't clear that there were more burials a little lower in the ground surface. So
and how close are they? They're
very tight with, you know,
the
basically a stacking procedure.
Okay. So it was obviously thought out that placing them there was thought out like a cemetery or a designated site
that's
for burials, right?
That's correct.
And over the years, the deepest is 4.5 feet, correct? I think that's what he said Friday.
I'll give the floor to our attorney Everett Moore, and then I wouldn't mind asking representatives of the Native community to come up if they could. I think it's very important that we respect their wishes. Mr. Moore, did you have something?
Yes, I just had a question. Five have already been disturbed, have been sent to the Smithsonian. Obviously, no matter what we do, something's going to have to be done with those bodies to reinter them someplace. I'm assuming it would not be at this site. Is that correct?
That's correct. If, for example, it's determined that they are Native American, we worked with the Nanticoke tribe, and Chief Robbins has indicated he would prefer a burial site perhaps on Thompson's Island. If it's determined that they're part of the Waples family, then if some, you know, ancestors come forward, then we would work with them. So it depends upon the results of the work by Mr. Owsley from the Smithsonian. We'll determine how the remains are handled.
Okay. And we're not still 100% sure they're the Waples, right? I mean, they're just
right.
It'll just be determined whether they're Native American or not, or European, right, descent. So
it could be African American.
Could
be a tenant. It could be a tenant or slave burial, Native American. I mean, but they're definitely.
So the odds of some Waple descendant coming up and said, you know, here, let's bring him over here or something.
And we have advertised. There's a formal process the SHPO goes through where they advertise. Now, at that point, nobody has responded. But more recently, with the amount of press that the situation has received, a few people.
So we have a better placement leading up to Everett. We have a better chance of placement if they are Native American because they know where they want them. But the rest of us may not know where the other ones go. If that's the case, what happened? Do we put them back somewhere in that site?
The state office.
That's to be determined.
They would determine where. Okay, there are historically. Okay.
And there is a legal procedure for doing that.
Okay.
Let me give the floor to the gentlemen who are here. I wanted to first say that I came down the other day to take a look because I am very sensitive to this issue. And I think first and foremost, we must respect the Native American community and their wishes. We can look at dollars and cents all day long, but quite frankly, it's an issue that goes beyond money, in my opinion, and we want to hear from you. Have you a strong opinion on where we should go with this?
Well, we certainly appreciate your sensitivity, and we have worked with individuals, and the options were explained, and as I said, we are concerned about the bodies, that they are treated with respect. We had some concerns initially about the jack and bore system, because what you're talking about is running a pipe under bodies, and pipes fail. Okay, after a further explanation of how it would be done, then those concerns were at least alleviated. But what we would require and would certainly insist upon is that it be at least a 4-foot minimum between the bodies and the pipe. And any less than that, you can visualize what would happen if a pipe failed and you had raw sewage saturating some of those graves. I don't think anyone would want this to happen. Anybody that has a family would certainly want this to happen. But they're going to install a sleeve over that, and if you had a 4-foot minimum depth, and they had a procedure for repairing. If something does happen, if something did happen, the raw sewage would not flow into the graves. It would flow outside the ends of the pipe. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a took care of that concern because,
Do you believe that the community at large is in agreement with your opinion on this?
Are the options available? I think that, think there would be, yes. In fact, we've talked to some folks in the community, and they have no major problem with that last option as far as having a four-foot minimum. That's, and then less than that, that is certainly not acceptable.
And that is something that you can accomplish, Mr. Izzo?
That is correct.
And it would appear that this option, you know, with respect to a budget, is one of the least expensive options.
That is correct as well.
Okay.
Well, that's good, yeah, because I think we don't want to disturb if we don't have to.
Right,
that's the key. Okay. And this seems to be the way to do it.
It would be nice if the whole cemetery could be marked at some point, though.
Well, the state has those roadside signs that designate historical areas, and maybe there's something else you can do, but I'm sure...
Right, but we don't know what the border of the cemetery is, so...
Is that something you can accomplish in your office?
We could delineate three sides of the cemetery. The fourth side would be very difficult because it looks as if dwellings are on top of it.
It's on private property, other property.
Both, we're assuming that both we've established two sides of the cemetery, the width of it. Now the other boundaries are not discernible because they're on private property. And it would be a major undertaking to try and pinpoint it down. We could possibly do three sides of it, but
mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe there'd be any objection from council to allow our office to do what they can to help mark that cemetery.
Yeah, right. I think we should do that.
And is there any objection from council to consider the Jack and Boar option in the form of a motion today? And Mr. Baker, do you have something?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else before we proceed?
We definitely don't want the project to stop. You know, okay. We're concerned, like the members of the community are, but we think it's a good idea, but we just want the bodies to be treated with respect and dignity.
Absolutely.
And then once it's determined their ethnicity, then we'll go from there. So.
Right. We might need some agreements from these private property owners, because they may not want...
Sure.
You know, their property designated as a historical such and such. But at least in the state right-of-way, we have no problem designating certain things. So that may be our limit on what we can do.
Right. We'll certainly work with the community. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for taking the time today and giving us some confidence in moving forward.
Well, thank you, General. Thank you.
Good seeing you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Baker, or?
I have a proposed motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the Jack and Boar option for the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District River Road Contract F sewer expansion, and the county will work to designate the location and mark the location of the cemetery.
Could I get that motion, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second,
please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to proceed with the Jack and Boar option to eliminate any disturbance of the cemetery that was found in the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District project, and to further direct our historic department to work with the native community in designating the full extent of the cemetery. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, everyone.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr.
If I may just point out that this was an item that was added to the agenda, and because of the emergency nature of the issues and the importance of handling this on a timely fashion, it was done in accordance with all FOIA requirements, and it was noted on here as to the emergency nature.
Yes, sir. Thank you for pointing that out. Mr. Baker.
The last item is the county administrator's report. And first item is community development and housing public hearing and meeting dates. Attached is a schedule of public hearing and meeting dates for the community development and housing block grant program proposal for fiscal 2012. The county's community development housing division will attend each meeting and prepare a budget recommendation based on the input received at the meetings. The next is the 2009 International Residential Code Seminar. The county is sponsoring, again, a seminar on the International Residential Building Code on December 2nd and 3rd. Cost of the seminar is $150. A representative from the International Residential Code Organization will provide the instructions. County inspectors will also receive this training, and it is open to members of the public who are interested. There are approximately 7 spaces available at this time for the seminar, and attached is information. Angola Sanitary Sewer District, Camp Arrowhead Road. As part of the Angola Sanitary Sewer District construction project, work is being done along Camp Arrowhead Road to install sewer lines. Some temporary stone paving is in place in certain areas of the road. Stone roadway will be replaced as soon as the weather cooperates with a temporary asphalt surface. The paving of the temporary asphalt surface is scheduled for today, weather permitting. We urge that motorists stay within their lane and travel slowly while traveling along Camp Arrowhead Road or other roads in the Angola area that have been impacted by the construction of our sewer system. The county is carefully monitoring the situation and is encouraging our contractors to handle the individual problem as quickly and safely as possible. And then finally, Thanksgiving holiday. The Sussex County Council will not meet next Tuesday, November 23rd, in honor of the Thanksgiving holiday. County offices will also be closed on November 25th and 26th for Thanksgiving. County offices will reopen on Monday, November 29th at 8:30 a.m. Thank you.
Anything for the county administrator from council? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Webb.
Thank you. In your packet, you received the estimated revenue and expense report for the first quarter ending September 30th. And Ms. Jennings is here also. We worked on this together. We came up with a different approach this time, and I thank Ms. Jennings for working on this. Because we only had 3 short months that we wanted to report on, in government, that is just a small window. Many of our grants get paid in later in the year, in the second 3 months. The fire service grants, the libraries, the state police grants, many of that happens later. And to report on just 3 months on actual would really give us a false picture of what our year looked like or a potential year looked like. On the other side, on the revenue side, we have 3 good months of really transfer tax because it's our, you know, summer months and into the fall. And then to rely on that and extrapolating that out through the year would also be false, I think, because we head into the winter months. So we did something a little bit different. We did a year-to-date estimate of what we think the year would finish at as compared to the budget so that I wasn't coming in with 3 months ending showing a very, very large surplus because that's what it would be if I based it on actual, and then coming in 6 months later and showing a very large sway the other way. So this gives us a more realistic picture. And briefly, what we did was estimate it year-to-date. As you can see on the realty transfer tax, we did estimate at the budget 12.7 because we felt that we better stick close to the budget. This is a very conservative estimate. If you looked at the first 3 months of the fiscal year, it's projecting over the budget, but there's a sharp decline in October. So that's one of the reasons why I don't want to take those 3 months and assume the whole year is going to be that way. So I stuck to the budget. The expense is the same way. If you look on the second page of expenses, you'll see many zeros. And what we did is we looked at 3 scenarios. We looked at what we were running at, what the budget was, what this quarter was, and the last 3 months prior, and we took the highest expense of all. We know we're not going to pay over our budget, most likely, unless there's some kind of situation. So we assumed, again, the worst-case scenario for expenses, that we would only expend up to our budget. And what this does is this gives us a very conservative number heading into 3 months of a little over $260,000. And at this point, with 3 months ending, it's very difficult to project what our year-end 12 months ended June 11 would be. But it does let us keep an eye on what's going on, what we're looking at, and sort of the worst-case scenario. And I feel it's a more realistic look at our situation rather than just cutting off at September and saying, these are our revenues, these are our expenses, this is where we're at. Because it would be a whole different story again in June. And just, I didn't think it was very consistent to do it that way. This way we can see any red flags, and we believe it's more realistic. And I thank Ms. Jennings for working with me and preparing this report.
Do you see any red flags?
No, and that's a good thing. Even with the conservativeness, the worst-case scenario on the expenses, a very modest $260,000.
Surplus?
Yes, to the good. At that point, you know, at that point. So that wouldn't indicate anything to me. But we watch it all the time.
Good. Any other questions for finance? Thank you very much, Ms. Jennings and Ms. Webb.
Thank you.
Mr. Godwin.
Yes, Mr. President, members of council, this morning we have two requests before you from our municipal law enforcement grant. Two towns in Sussex County have requested disbursements. The first is Dewey Beach. They have requested the full draw of $20,000 for the purchase of a new SUV to serve as a police vehicle. This would replace a Chevy Tahoe that they have in service currently. The second request comes from the town of Selbyville. They're requesting $8,500 of their $20,000 allotment to purchase some computer equipment and printers.
Do you have a motion?
I do.
Please.
Yes. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve two disbursements from the annual law enforcement grant fund, one for Dewey Beach, $20,000, and one for Selbyville for $8,500.
Got to get that motion, please.
Yep. So moved.
Second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the local law enforcement grants as read by Mr. Godwin. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Godwin. Ms. Webb for grant request.
Thank you. Only a few today. The first one, the Milton Historical Society, I'd like to defer on this, as I believe this is a repeat from their human service grant. It's a duplicate, and the human service grant checks will go out in a couple of weeks, and I believe this is just got on the agenda erroneously.
Okay.
Town of Blades is Mr. Vincent's.
Did he mention an amount?
He did not, but I do have...
I bet $10,000.
That's not the amount I had last year. He, it was 500...
I'll second that.
Given in last
year. Oh, there you got to move forward now.
I can't be party to that.
You better say you're joking for the record, please.
How would y'all feel about deferring this? Let Mr.
I would say, I think they have, he still has time. Of course, we're not meeting. It'll be right at the beginning
of
Christmas.
It would be the 30th is the next agenda it would go on. And this is looking for the date. It's December 5th is the party.
Pretty close.
All right. We better give him $250. I'll make a motion.
They got 500.
509.
I'll make a motion. We give $500 just to be consistent with his last gift.
My motion is second to get $500 from Mr. Vincent's account to the Town of Blades for their annual Kids Christmas Bazaar. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Boys and Girls Club of Oak Orchard and Riverdale.
The Boys and Girls Club had requested funding for their project, what are they doing there? I would read the letter, refresh my memory.
Annual Fund One campaign, which is an overall support of everything.
Anyway, I was going to give them $5,000 total, but we have a $1,500 contribution already in the human service grant, so I'll make a further contribution of $3,500, so that'll give them the $5,000.
I have a motion from Mr. Cole to give the Boys and Girls Club of Oak Orchard $3,500 from his account.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Lewis Aid.
Now, is this a first for them?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, never heard
and
of
they
them.
Are a nonprofit, I
verified. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are they mentioning any particular amount?
They are not.
Okay.
They just describe the kind of help that they give in the winter months, electric, heating, oil, medicine.
I think $1,000 from my account would be appropriate.
Second, please.
You got it.
Second. A motion and a second to give $1,000 from Ms. Deaver's account to Lewis Aid. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Introduction of proposed ordinance.
Yes, Mr. President. The first one is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.3328 acres, more or less. And it's filed on behalf of Stephen Billibrand.
I'll introduce it.
The next one, Mr. President, is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MRRPC medium density residential district, residential planned community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 20.94 acres, more or less, filed on behalf of CMF Bayside LLC.
Yeah, I'll introduce it.
And the last one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to operate businesses related to grass cutting, power washing, marine services, and sales and construction services to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.5188 acres, more or less, filed on behalf of Harold R. Ennis, Jr. and Dick Ennis, Inc.
I'll introduce it.
Okay, and that is all, Mr. President.
In additional business, Barbara Vaughn, you have the floor.
Councilwoman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here to inquire after the status of an ordinance to adopt an adequate public facilities law. We are the only county that does not have one. And I was instrumental or participated in the drafting of this ordinance. And I recall that on May 4th, it was introduced to the council, and a motion was passed unanimously to have a workshop within 30 to 45 days. And I haven't seen that on the agenda. So I wondered if what the status was.
All right.
I forgot all about it myself.
Mm-hmm. It will be available to the council to determine that. I personally am not necessarily focused on that particular issue, but if others would like to ask for a workshop, we'll take a sense of the council.
Yeah, I would like to do it. I'd like to
Mr. Cole, are you?
I never have any problem with workshops. It's
okay.
We will either learn why we need one, or we'll learn why we don't need one.
All right.
It's that simple, right?
Do we have a
mission
planner?
Mission accomplished.
Please call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. Deaver?
We have a planner?
We haven't hired a planner yet.
We have got
the status on a planner?
One, we have got our land use consulting firm that can help us with this, but also I think Mr. Baker may be getting close to sharing light.
Yes. I'm not able to announce anything today.
Well, then don't do it if you're not able.
We have one at this time.
We have our land use consultant firm, yes, which will participate in this, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay, it does appear to be a consensus to have a workshop on this issue, Mr. Baker.
Yes. Okay.
Dixie Boucher?
Dave, why don't you consider probably, I'm thinking with the holidays coming up and things, you might... We might want to do it right after the first of the year in January, if there's no problem with it, because I just think that we won't get an adequate time and people may not be able to show up if they want to listen or something like that. But is that okay with everybody after the first of the year?
Maybe about the time the first snowstorm.
Yes, Mr. Cole, I think
all
that's
right,
fine.
All right, Mr.
Yes,
Wilson, we'll
Dixie,
take that under
thank you.
First of all, I'd like to thank the county council for voting to have an additional meeting. You just blew my first request right out of the water. I had prepared folders with my recommendations that I will now save and give to the committee at the meeting.
I think we'd like to have that ahead of time so that they can prepare the agenda.
Okay. I've given them to you many times.
Well, Mr. Baker.
Just give one to Mr. Baker, and he'll make sure it gets to the right spot.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Ours
my
gets,
printer's running out of
ours usually gets
But I would also, now that we're having an additional committee meeting, I would like to request of the council that George Cole be asked to attend the meeting, the committee meeting. He has a number of manufactured communities in his district. He is aware of many of the problems that we have discussed, and I would certainly like his input. So that has now become my first request.
Well, the what we did earlier on that committee was basically have the committee come together just to say, do we want to have another meeting? So I don't need to meet on that one, do I? It's only if when they start establishing these new workshops.
Well, I thought the committee meeting was going to basically discuss if we had additional issues.
Well, the first thing is just to find out if we're going to do it, right? And then.
What we thought is we would get information from you and from the other members of the committee in terms of the tasks that or the issues that are out there that the committee could address, and then have a meeting of the committee and go. So we have. Mr. Lank and Mr. Moore and our staff can try to research some of these issues and then have a productive meeting and make recommendations.
So we're talking, in effect, possibly two additional meetings then. One to decide whether we, turn the information over to Mr. Moore and Mr. Lank, and then actually see what they come back with and discuss any additional issues. So we're talking two then.
That's not the way I understood it. And I don't mean to interrupt here, but I understood it. We voted, I believe, that you're to have all this information put together. Let us know on paper why you should have these meetings.
All right. Well, the only
problem. That's what I voted on. That's what I understood.
But this is the first that we have been informed. I have mine.
Okay. Right.
But there are other members of the committee who are just finding out about this. Therefore, they have to have time to get the information together to present. So you're back to one. We are going to be discussing the issues, which I'd like to have
right,
Mr. Cole there at.
Yeah. In Everett, I just, since I'm not on the committee, no problem with attending it. As long as I don't participate, maybe just listen.
Right.
I would like your input.
Am I allowed to participate?
Ms. Deaver attended one of the meetings, and there's no problem with it.
Mm-hmm. I was in the audience.
You didn't participate.
I wasn't.
My question is about participation.
Well, I'd like his input. I think it's important to have input from council
I'm just asking him what he thinks. I don't mind input. It's hard for me sometimes to sit there anyway. But
I'll take a look at that issue and advise you prior to.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I know many times we've been told go, don't say anything, all that kind of stuff. But
could I ask the council's indulgence? I'd like to ask Mr. Lank a question.
Oh, he's on the spot.
Go ahead
and
let me hear. What is your question?
Well, the question is, on a scale of 1 to 10.
This will be good.
Roughly speaking, if 10 is everything and 1 is nothing, could you give us an idea on the Board of Adjustment, roughly speaking, I know you don't have the numbers, how many Board of Adjustment requests for variance? What's the percentage on a scale of 1 to 10 where it deals with manufactured housing as opposed to development issues or
setbacks and different things like that?
Well,
roughly speaking.
Over 50%. I really can't say.
Well, that's because I think that's relative to the fact that if we ask for additional new committee.
I could do that.
You could do that?
Yeah,
would you do that?
As it relates, because there's always a issue within a park on typically every agenda.
That's what I've noticed. And
except for some of the more recent agenda, which are like two or three applications, so you don't get it. But when we had 15 each night, twice a month, there was always something to do with a manufactured home park.
Well, I think the point that I'm trying to make, and that kind of supports
but you're trying to find out what percentage of all applications are dealing
with.
Of all applications at the board, how many are
related to
manufactured?
And the purpose for that is that it supports my feeling, which will be in this, that we do need additional committee hearings on the code, because a large percentage of issues that are developing are based on manufactured housing. So it is a big percentage, and it requires, in my opinion, additional effort. And that's why I put him on the spot here.
No, you put me on the spot.
Okay.
Thank you for your answer.
It's something to look at.
It's something to remember when we do get back and do our last meeting.
Thank you.
Then I had one other question.
Can you, try to speed it up?
Well, it's a very short question. In the interest of full disclosure by public officials, I would like to have each member of the council verbally, for the record, state whether they have ownership, full or partial, or any financial interest in any manufactured housing community of any size in the county. I'd like to have that verbally, if I could, from each member.
I have no problem with that. It's an easy one.
Okay. quite frankly, I don't know that it's appropriate at this time. I mean, is it something that
I have no
we
problem
want to start getting into, having the council polled by members of the public, Equites?
Really, at the public discussion, the public comment at the end, really should not involve discussion with the county council and the person at all, because it is an opportunity for the public to make comments to the council as opposed to discussion. If it's discussion matters, it should be something that should be put on an agenda at a later date and discussed.
Yes.
If there is any time that there is an issue coming up, such as she is asking, and it might be something that would pose a conflict, at that point I think it would be incumbent upon the person to indicate if there is anything that would create a potential conflict.
And Everett, on conflicts, why don't you review our conflict of interest policy or whatever we got, and maybe if you want to put that on a future agenda, just to, as a refresher, kind of continuing education for the council, what is I know many times we used to, you know, Mr. Dukes, because he was in the lumber business, anytime somebody built something, it was a conflict. I got a real estate license, I think Vance has it, and anytime something to do with real estate, we got conflicts, and it's not. It's so I think we need to clarify right. that, even for not so much us, but for the public. But that wouldn't be a bad thing to put on the agenda one time, just a clarification.
I think that's a good idea. Oftentimes yeah. you've seen me indicating prior to something come before the council, indicating if I've had an interest, I know the person, or I've
right.
represented, just so I could state it so the public knows it.
Well, I think the line has to be clarified, because it is. Everybody in the county has other relationships and jobs.
I think it's pretty common knowledge, unless somebody's hiding something, that there's only one councilman has anything to do with a manufactured housing park.
There is? Who is that?
Ms. Boucher.
If you've been attending the meetings, you would know.
it's something that you have made public, and I have a feeling it'll be discussed further if it is of public interest. Anything else?
But I think it is in the public interest, and yes. I appreciate
But I think pretty much, ask the reporter back. I mean, most everybody knows, I think. I'm shocked to hear that you don't know.
Well, I maybe. Just like things to be out in the front. I right. want it out in the
well,
open.
I believe okay. that individual's actually stated it many would, times.
Then I would love to have a clarification of conflict of interest when it comes to
voting. I think that's a good point.
All right. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Thank
good,
you.
Good to refresh everybody's memory.
Before we go into recess, I would like to, out of a courtesy to council, provide you with a resolution which I intend to have on the agenda next week for your consideration. It's a resolution expressing the sense of the council of Sussex County that a significant hike in the gasoline and diesel taxes would be harmful to the citizens of Sussex County and economic growth. Jobs and growth are the number one issues, and I feel like we need to, as a body, at certain points in time, make our feelings known. If there is
no problem with that,
this is something that can be made available to the public prior to. This is a draft. There may be elements that need to be changed. Anything else before we take a motion to recess? I'll entertain that motion. Second. Recess till 1:00. All in favor, 1:30. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, guys.